What's up and welcome to the NYC Video Podcast, a show about the film and video industry here in New York City and the great people that are making it happen each and every day. I'll be your host, Tom Chavez, and on today's show, I'll be talking about marketing, what it is, why it's important for us freelancers, especially for filmmakers who are just starting out their careers, and just three marketing tips that can really help out, I think, all freelancers who work on film and video sets and would like to drum up some more work for themselves. Now, I work as both a freelance gaffer and also a small business owner, and over the years, I've realized that the amount of work that I'm able to get is based in large part on how well I can introduce myself and my skills to the people that need someone that like me and need people that have my skills. Now, COVID-19 has definitely thrown a huge wrench in everyone's plans and career paths, but I think that now more than ever, it's really important for us to learn how to market ourselves in order to get back on set and to establish ourselves if you're just starting out early on in your careers. Given that it's winter and that there is a pandemic out there, I think right now a lot of us may have more free time than normal. So it's a good time to kind of learn a little bit more about how to market yourselves in order to get more work when things start really picking up again. So like some of you, I went to film school. I went to Brooklyn College. And while I was there, I learned about editing. I learned about camera angles, the three-act structure. But one thing that I really wasn't prepared for was how to handle the business end of freelancing. Now, as a freelancer, we need to run our careers like a business. We need to budget our money. We need to market our services. We need to actively seek out new customers to keep the ship afloat. Work won't just come to us. We actively need to be hunting for it and be able to find work, or else we're going to starve. Now, we all know that we need to establish ourselves within the community. We need to help out our colleagues, and we need to bring value to the productions we work on. That's a given. Everyone knows that. But what a lot of us overlook, though, is how important it is to promote ourselves and know how to actively and efficiently promote ourselves in order to get people to know who we are and to understand what skills that we possess and what we can bring to the table on every shoot. So the act of promoting yourself and your skills is marketing. So first off, what does marketing mean? I looked up the definition on Wikipedia, which is a very credible source. And according to the American Marketing Association, the term is defined as the activity, set of institutions, and processes for creating, communicating, delivering, and exchanging offerings that have value for customers, clients, partners, and society at large. Okay, now what does that mean? So if we set that in the context of marketing yourself as a freelancer, it means that we are able to present our skills, body of work, and work ethic to a person who is in charge of hiring us for a job, be it a producer or a department head like a DP or a gaffer or production designer. So how do we communicate who we are to a producer who's never met us before and we've definitely never worked with before? So there's a few ways to do this. Over the years, I've read a bunch of books and watched a ton of YouTube videos, and I've listened to a lot of podcasts on the topic of marketing. And along the way, I've been able to develop some strategies that I think might work pretty well for freelance filmmakers, because I know that I've been using some of them myself, and hopefully it'll help you out as well, just to try to be able to find new work and establish new relationships with potential clients. So why did I choose to talk about marketing? Well, so this past week, I went on Local Zero Heroes, which is a group on Facebook, and I posted a question. I asked, if you're a recent film school graduate who's struggling to find work, what have you noticed about your application process to all these different jobs? And what have you been struggling with? And I really just kind of wanted to get people's observations of what they've been dealing with. And within a few hours, I saw about 70 replies to that simple question. I saw a bunch of like recent film school majors who moved to New York, some of them who even graduated here in New York and who left film school and haven't been able to get on set since June or May of last year. So it's definitely a topic that I think a lot of people are struggling with right now. I worry that a lot of filmmakers who just graduated are going to really struggle to find a lot of work, and they're just going to transfer out to other careers because of them just not being prepared to handle a freelance lifestyle. So marketing is very important because, like I said, it's going to try to introduce who you are and your skills and experience to producers who can ultimately get you work. And I know that working as a freelancer is hard enough on its own, let alone in the midst of a pandemic and also in the middle of winter. So it's really important, I think, for us to start learning how to market ourselves properly and be able to drum up more work. So that's why I'm here and I'm talking about the topic of marketing today. You know, I can't personally offer a bunch of jobs to filmmakers who are really hungry for work, but I can try to teach you a few useful skills that I think if you use them properly and you stick to it, it'll hopefully help you get more work. So let's go ahead and jump into three marketing tips for freelance filmmakers. It's shameless plug time. This week's episode is sponsored by yours truly, Tom Chavez, and my video lighting company, MasterShot Films. Since 2008, tons of productions have entrusted the MasterShot team to handle all things lighting on their interview and social media videos. The MasterShot crew of gaffers and key grips deliver and operate lighting and grip equipment throughout New York and New Jersey in our two-ton vans. Visit our website to see a virtual tour of our vans and gear. I'll drop the link in the show notes. And for the month of February, our listeners will get 25% off their first booking by mentioning the promo code COVIDBLOWS. Use the code save some dough, and let's get back to work. And now, back to the show. Okay, so the first one is a website. So back in the day, artists used to carry around these like little black folding portfolios that had all of their work inside them. And when they would arrive at a job interview or meet with a client, they could really easily open it up and show all of their work, which is like labeled, it was indexed, and it was really neatly organized. And it made it really easy for the employer to look at their work and to hire them based on the quality of their work and everything. But just having that ability to really quickly and easily lay out everything that you do in one simple fashion is an amazing thing. And the modern version of that is a website. So there are services like Google, Wix, Squarespace, WordPress. All of them offer like a free option, I believe, on how to make a website. And it's fairly easy. If you know how to turn on a computer and send an email, you can figure out how to build a website on one of these platforms pretty easily. Again, if you're just starting out, do not pay for one. Just get a free basic version, because you don't need all the bells and whistles. You just need some basic web presence in order to kind of store all of your work and show the world who you are in a professional light. It'll probably take you about a day or two to put together, but trust me, right now, like I said, a lot of us probably have some extra free time, so it's well worth the investment to just take a day or two, lay everything out, put everything that you have so far in one place, and keep it there in order to show employers and show department heads who are going to be looking at you to hopefully hire you for positions when work really picks up again. So if you've worked as a production assistant on any professional or even student films, list it on your website. List any IMDb links, list YouTube trailers. You want to basically make your website as media rich as possible. A traditional resume is mostly just text. Maybe if you have a couple infographics, but it's mostly just text. Producers hate reading resumes, I think, because it's just hard, it's dense. Everyone formats it differently, so they're constantly looking for different things. But when you go to someone's website, what's cool about it is that you can include photos, you can include videos, you can include links to interesting projects that you've worked on. And to me, whenever I see a person that's applying to me and they have a website, there's a 99% chance that I'm going to click on that person's website to learn more about them. I can't learn that much from a piece of paper, but if I can see how involved you are in creating a website and including different kinds of media that you've worked on, to me, that says a lot more about the production assistant or whoever that's applying for the job. So yeah, if you're a production assistant or a recent film school graduate, try and use your website to list your IMDb links. Show YouTube trailers of projects that you've worked on. Even if it was a student film, it's better than nothing. I'd rather look at a trailer of a student film as opposed to just reading about it on a resume. So it's a really good opportunity for you to be able to share any kind of media that you've created or been a part of in the creation. If you don't feel comfortable listing the trailer because, you know, you didn't necessarily shoot a project, I would say email the cinematographer or the director of the project or the producer of the project and ask them permission. Hey, I worked on this project, you know, last fall or, you know, last spring. Would you mind if I listed this on my website as examples of my production assistant work? Because I was really proud of the work that I did on it. And I'm really happy about how it came out. And that alone would flatter a department head or a producer. And that also is an icebreaker. It may lead to more conversations and hopefully can get you more work just by emailing them and asking them for permission. So just a thought. One thing that you want to do when you create a website is to have a custom URL name to the website. So this might cost you a couple bucks because you may need to buy the name of your website. You want to make that name as easy as possible for someone to spell out and or to share with someone. So if I'm a producer and a buddy of mine asks me, hey, do you know of any good production assistants? I can say, yeah, hire this person and go to their website, and I can say it to them very easily. So an example of this is if my name is Demetrius Spilewski, it may be hard for someone to spell DemetriusSpilewski.com. I mean, it's hard to say it, let alone spell it. So if Demetrius is art director, he may want to make his URL artdirector.nyc or NYC art director, because even though it's not his name, it's a really easy URL that he can just tell someone over the phone or share it via email, and then someone else can just type it into their browser and check out their website. Also, if you have a resume, which I definitely think you should have a resume if you're a freelancer, be sure to host it on your website. It's a great way for producers to just see who you are, learn about you, and also, if they want to, check out your resume to see the body of work that you've worked on in the past. Also, with your resume, you want to make any kind of links clickable. So in addition to having the resume on your website, if you have IMDb trailers or YouTube links listed on your resume, you want to make sure that those are actively clickable links, because in addition to sending people your website, you may just be emailing people links to your resume. And when I receive a resume, I don't want to see, hey, he worked on this movie trailer on YouTube, and then I have to go to YouTube and type in the trailer name. I'd rather just be able to click on that link in my email box and see the examples of work that this production assistant or whoever has worked on. It just makes my life a lot easier. So you want to make it as easy as possible for an employer to see your resume and also see examples of your work that are listed on your resume. In addition to having a website, you also want to be able to promote your website. You want people to know that you have a website. Most people these days, they have some form of social media, whether it's Facebook, Instagram, or LinkedIn, Snapchat, whatever. You should always use your social media to link people to go to your website. I may not necessarily be searching for DemetriusSpaluski.com or NYCArtDirector.com, but if I'm on your social media page and I see that you have a website and I click on it, it'll take me there and I'll know that you have a website. So if 2 weeks from now, if someone asks me for a good art director, I can send them a link to your website because I found you through your social media. But that's actually an interesting thing that I've noticed is you should use your Facebook, your Twitter, your Instagram to link people to go to your website, but you may not necessarily want to link people from your website back to your social media. Why? Because your website is a place where you store all of your professional stuff. So you have your photo, you have your bio, you have examples of your professional career and work on there. Your social media doesn't. Your social media has, you know, old prom pictures. It has pictures and videos of you on your Cancun trip. It has pictures of babies and stuff like that. So producers may not necessarily want to see that. And some of the photos and things you may have on your social media, you may not want to even show to producers. So you want to try to keep the two apart in some ways. So again, you want to bring people to your website from your social media, but you may not want to bring other people from your website back to your social media, if that makes sense. So just keep that in mind and use your best judgment. If you're going to share examples of your work through Instagram, you can link that to your website and send people to your Instagram because it has examples of your work, but you may not necessarily want to send them to your Snapchat or to your Twitter because you have all out arguments about politics and sensitive subjects on there. So that could be a turnoff to some employers. So again, you want to try to use your best judgment and know which links to include and which social media links to not include on your website. So when I recently asked on Local Zero Heroes, should people have a website? I was really surprised because I saw several people saying that no, most people don't need a website. It's irrelevant and you probably don't need one. And I disagree with that. I think that because they're free and because they're so easy to make these days, everyone should have one because your website will actively market you while you're asleep. You don't have to be out there pushing your website and pushing your work. If I'm your friend and someone is looking for someone with your skills, I can share your website with an employer and then that employer will hire you. You didn't need to lift a finger after you created the website to get that work. So again, having just a simple website to just show off your work to people will do you way more good than bad. In the process of also searching for websites that different freelancers and filmmakers have here in New York, I came across two that really jumped out at me. One of them is sarahgwolf.com and the other one is amyrwilliams.com. I'll put links to both of them in the show notes below, but it's sarahgwolf.com and amyrwilliams.com. One of them is a producer, one of them is a production designer, and both of these ladies do an amazing job of presenting themselves, showing off their skills, and encouraging people to get in contact with them. They make it really easy for people to know who they are and how to reach them. And that's the amazing part of a website. The resume could probably do the same thing, but their websites are just so much richer. They have really good photos. They have examples of their work. Sarah has an amazing, amazing, amazing resume. So I strongly suggest that you go to her website and just check out her resume and how it's laid out. It looks like a really cool comic book that kind of breaks the stereotype of what a resume looks like. Traditionally, it's just the simple standard, you know, Microsoft Word template. She actually took a lot of time and energy to create a really, really well-crafted resume. So if you're looking for an example of how to make an interesting looking resume, check out Sarah's website. So building a website is a really important part of marketing yourself as a freelance filmmaker. But I think the next really important component is to stay in contact with people, is constantly be emailing people, sometimes calling people, and just staying on people's radar. There's something called CRM, which stands for Customer Relations Management. There's a lot of like software out there that you can sign up for and subscribe to. Some of it's free, some of it costs money, but essentially what it does is it helps you keep track of old customers, old clients, and it lets you know like, hey, you should reach out to this person. It'll set little reminders for you every, you know, couple weeks or month to say, hey, reach out to these cinematographers or reach out to these production designers or reach out to these sound engineers. What CRM software does is it collects information of people that you've worked with in the past, and it allows you to basically reach out to them in the future if you have some free time. Another option that's completely free is if you use like Google Sheets or just a simple like Excel spreadsheet. It's just a simple way to capture people's information and get back to them in the future. So for me, I have a Google spreadsheet, and this Google spreadsheet is just titled Contacts. On this spreadsheet, I have a bunch of different little tabs. Each tab is for a different job title. So I work a lot with a lot of producers. I work a lot with cinematographers. I work with a lot of ADs, and I like to keep in contact with them and send them occasional emails or newsletters just to let them know, hey, I still exist. I'm still in New York. I still work as a gaffer. Reach out. I'd love to work with you again. I'd love to catch up with you and maybe even have a beer one of these days. But it's just a simple email of being able to kind of get in contact with people. I feel like we get so many different emails every day with call sheets and just pre-pro stuff and personal emails as well, that we tend to like lose contact information of the people that we've worked with. So CRM software and also just having a free spreadsheet to capture that information is really useful, because when we're on set, we're constantly moving and working, we're earning money. But on days where we're at home, we should be actively looking for work and actively doing things to stay in contact with people that we've already met and worked with that know who we are. So it's really important that we have a place that we can store all of their contact information and be able to reach out to them occasionally for work. So in this spreadsheet that I use to get in contact with old colleagues is I like to store their name, their job title, their phone number, their email address, their website, and their social media. These six components kind of allow me to get back in contact with them. By following them on social media and knowing their social media handles, I'm able to check out a person's like LinkedIn or their Facebook before I send them an email. Because if I see that my buddy just got back from a trip to Brazil, I can say, hey, dude, I just saw on Facebook that you went to Brazil. That's really cool. I've been there a few times. What did you see? And then I can also mention like, hey, I'm also available for work. I'm finishing this project in a couple of weeks. So if you're looking for a production assistant or if you're looking for a gaffer, let me know. I'm around. Again, you don't need to spend any money on these programs. Most of them offer like some kind of free option or at the very least like a trial. But if you're just starting out or if you're tight on funds, don't spend any of your money on this kind of stuff. You can use a free Google spreadsheet or a Microsoft spreadsheet. They're basic, but they work just fine. The other important thing is call sheets. So for those of you who've worked already on film sets here in New York, you know that for every job that you do, you get a call sheet every single day. And the call sheet has all of the relevant information about the shoot the following day, but it also has the contact information of the people involved in the shoot that day. And that's really important for you to keep. So as a freelance filmmaker, over the years, I've realized that I shouldn't be deleting or forgetting about these call sheets. One of the things that I do is I create a little folder in my Gmail inbox, and I basically just save a lot of these call sheets. So that way, if in the future, if I decide that I want to transition into becoming an art director, I can reach out to old art directors that I've worked with and let them know, like, hey, we work together. You know me as a gaffer, but I'm also transitioning into an art director, and I'd like to try to work with you or learn from you how to work as an art director. And then when I get to the point where I can start billing myself as an art director, I can let them know, like, now that I'm an art director, if I get work and I'm unavailable, I'll try to pass it off to you. And oftentimes my competitors will pass off their work to me because they know that I do the same thing and that I've kicked them work, so they return it to me. But just by having all of the contact information from old art directors or gaffers or whatever, it's just an easy way to reach back out to people that you haven't seen in months or even years and just kind of reestablish relationships with people. So let's say I want to start working in Gripen Electric as a lighting technician. First thing I would do when I get the call sheet is I would open up my spreadsheet and save the contact information for the gaffer, the key grip, the best boy electric, the best boy grip, whatever. Anyone in the G&E department, I would save their information. So in a week's time or 2 weeks, I can email all of them individually, say thank you for having, you know, let me work closely with you. I learned a lot from working with you. And if you ever have any opportunities where you need someone, even though I'm green, I would love to work out. I'd love to shadow you guys and be able to help out in any capacity. That's the importance of storing people's contact information in a database for you to be able to call back on in a couple weeks or even a month. If you want to start working in camera department, at the end of the shoot, you would go through the call sheet and store the names of the DP and the AC and anyone else involved in camera department and do the same thing. Just email them, let them know that you're interested in camera, send them a link to your website and or your resume, and just let them know that if they need someone in the future, that you're available. Always be sure to save the producer and the AD. It's amazing how many times an AD or a producer have called me up the day before or 2 days before a job because they desperately needed a gaffer. I constantly try to keep in contact with a lot of my AD and producer friends. So just being able to have them in your database and reach out to them occasionally, you stay top of mind and you're able to be called upon when they need someone last minute, or if you're lucky, they'll call you ahead of time. But just being able to reach out to them occasionally makes you top of mind. Also, the last thing I'm going to say about call sheets is, in addition to saving the names of employers like producers or department heads, let's say I was a production assistant and I worked with a really great production assistant on a production, I'm going to save her number because I know that she's super sharp and that she works really hard. So if I get a call and I'm booked, I can recommend her to the job that I'm not available for. And by doing that, you kind of create a bond with someone because you trust them, you're giving them work, and they're going to do the same thing for you, hopefully. When they get jobs and they're double booked, they'll kick those jobs over to you. I'd say probably about 5 to 7% of the jobs that I do are referrals from other gaffers that send me work, because I know that I've worked with a handful of gaffers throughout my career and I've heard good things about other gaffers. So I try to constantly send out jobs where I can't attend to my competitors, because I know that they're going to return the favor when they're double booked. So in summary, save the names and numbers and contact information for people that can hire you, but also your colleagues that do the same thing as you, because it's another way to get work really easily. Okay, so we mentioned websites and we also mentioned like CRM, customer relations management. The last final thing that I'm going to mention is email and signatures. So this is probably the easiest thing that you could possibly do, because again, it markets you in every single email that you send out. I've noticed that when I email with a lot of producers and freelancers, at the bottom of their email address, they have a signature which states their name, it states their job title, their phone number, their website, and between 1 and 3 links of social media of what they want to share with customers or with their employers or with the world. They share 1 to 3 social media links that usually have examples of their work somewhere on there, whether it's LinkedIn, Instagram, sometimes on Facebook or whatever, but it's different links. So the cool thing about setting an email signature is you basically brand yourself. So every email that you send to a producer or to another production assistant or to a cinematographer or to whoever, you're letting them know at the bottom of your email who you are and what you do. And it also makes it really easy for them to be able to get in contact with you. If 2 weeks from now, if I'm looking for, let's say, a production assistant, I know that I can type in Sarah. And as soon as you come up in my email, I don't need to click on the link that goes here, that goes there to get your phone number. Really quickly, I can see that it's at the bottom of your email and then I can get in contact with you. Years ago, I had a producer send me an email saying that he was trying to get in contact with me, that he wanted to hire me for a job, but he didn't know what my phone number was. And just that simple act kind of made him work harder to try to find me. A lot of other producers, if they were just really slammed and they couldn't have found my phone number, they would have just forgotten me and hired the next guy. But luckily that producer and I had worked with each other and he was able to get in contact with me and I was able to eventually get that job. But again, just make it as easy as possible for producers or employers to give you work. It's as simple as making a signature at the bottom of your email that gets sent out with every email that you send. And in your signature, like I mentioned, having a website, including your website is really important, because when you're just starting out your career, you're going to be emailing copies of your resume to a bunch of different people. And resumes are great. They're, again, a really good, concise way to state what you've done and who you are. But if you're able to apply for a job with a resume and you also have a link in your signature to go into your website, as a person who's listed jobs and gotten hit with like hundreds of applicants, I usually give priority to the people that have a simple website, because instead of downloading a form and having to open it up, I can just click on a link. It'll take me straight to their website. I can see their resume on their website. I can also learn more about them, and I can also see links of things that they've worked on. So again, including a little website link in your signature is super, super, super helpful. Another really important thing is getting a professional photo of yourself. And this sounds kind of weird, but having a simple professional photo of yourself goes a long way. If you look at most about sections on people's websites, you'll see that the person has a picture of themselves next to their body of work or next to their resume. And having a simple photo of yourself is just a really personable way of establishing yourself in the mind of the person that's going to be hiring you. So try and hire a professional photographer to take your photos. Here in New York, I've worked as a photographer. I know that whenever I get a new light or I pick up a new lens, the first thing I want to do is go test it out and shoot people. But all my buddies may be booked. So what I would recommend is if you join just photographer groups on Facebook, I'm pretty sure you can land either a free headshot or a really cheap headshot through those photo forums. And at the very least, you can also do like a work barter. So being able to kind of exchange the skills that you have and help out the photographer, and hopefully the photographer can help you out with some free headshot or professional photo. Okay, so just to recap, every freelancer should try and build a website, implement CRM some way into their workflow to keep in contact with like freelancers and employers, and also have a really good email signature that has your name, your job title, phone number, website, and some social media links to show off the work that you do. The main thing that this whole marketing thing comes down to is being top of mind. You work with people, you do a good job, and you bond on set, but usually after a couple weeks or a month or several months away from each other, you tend to forget that person because you're dealing with so many different things each and every day on set. So it's really good and useful to be top of mind for people. And by doing that, you should have a good website, you should have a good email signature, and you should implement those CRM tips that I mentioned about the call sheet and all that stuff. Okay, so that just about wraps up today's talk on marketing for freelance filmmakers here in New York. I dropped some links below for Sarah and Amy, those two people that I mentioned earlier in the website portion in the show notes. So be sure to check out their websites to get some inspiration. I'll also try to include just a few other YouTube links of useful marketing videos that will help you hopefully market yourselves to producers and other employers in the industry. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me via Facebook on our Facebook page, which is NYC Video Podcast. I'm Tom Chavez, and you've been listening to the NYC Video Podcast. Thanks so much, and I'll see you on set.